Hello.
Hello. Nice meeting you again.
Pleasure is all mine. It was nice to meet you on the event in Sweden, Stockholm time, and put my hands on all of your watches and hear the story. But before we go into the story, we do a wrist and drink check. What's in your cup and what's on your wrist?
So in my cup, I have a small espresso from Lavazza. Lavazza Rosso, and on my wrist, I'm wearing the blue Strayer.
In my cup is Swedish coffee, and then I have another Strayer on my wrist, the brown dial with a stainless steel casing.
It's very nice, very nice.
It is. We'll come back to the experience and my thoughts and opinions about that piece. Please tell us about yourself a little bit.
So, my background, I think some of you heard, I have a background as an industrial designer and mechanical engineer, and I worked in the automotive, in watch industry, working with innovation and designing tools for high-end processes. And I'm living in outside Stockholm, Sweden. And quite Scandinavian. My father was Norwegian, and I had the pleasure, I would say, to travel quite a lot. But I really loved living here and paying tribute to this with my watches and the design of my watches.
You have background in engineering. You have invented a bunch of things.
Yes, I worked with really close with trying to identify customer needs with companies like Tesla, Lucid, Lamborghini, Rolex, ITA. And I brought all of those observations, ideas to the design team and the engineers. And we worked on developing new products, new ideas. And I did this for a period of more than 10 years. Globally. And eventually I think that the entrepreneur in me wanted too much to come out from the closet. And I launched the Strayer. And also I didn't have a background as a watchmaker, but my background came from design and engineering. And I wanted to bring in something unique, not just another watch. I don't think that would just need one more watch. There must be millions of variants. So I wanted to bring in some kind of innovation based on my background and what I was doing. And that's why I worked really, really hard on the interchangeability with the mechanical lock and release mechanism.
Was that in the very beginning, the concept, or did it develop with time?
No, I... the idea to play with interchangeability came quite early. It was how I wanted to do it that took some time to develop, because I tried out a lot of different concepts. Some of the first idea was just to have like a solid bezel that you could snap on top. But for me, it wasn't the premium experience. And I always work with premium brands, with premium products, and I knew what really good engineering could lead to and could do. So my search for that was over many years, actually, it's like the iterative process where you come up with a concept, you try it, you evaluate it, and then you redo it again. So over and over again. And it took me on a journey, a very fun journey, very, very tough as well. But I came up with a solution that eventually I was very, very happy with. And my, partners or the people that I worked with, very high-skilled watchmakers in Switzerland, they are also incredibly proud with the tolerances and the mechanism that we eventually came up with.
How many iterations did you go through until you stopped on this very system?
Before this, I have I would say five different that I tried out, and I have a couple of boxes with different prototypes that are lying around here. And it's, they say that the journey is the whole thing, but it can be very, very suffering to be on that journey, both in terms of you think, am I losing my mind here? I'm searching for something that they say they can't do or is impossible. But on the other hand, I could come back to, I knew what good engineering could be, and the search for this, the strive for this, really, I could not give up when I knew this. I was so determined to come through with it, but you have to be very stubborn, and you have to have a family that really allows you and believes in you, and friends.
How about the dial and the whole design concept? There is inspiration, I believe, there.
So yeah, the inspiration from the dial. Sweden has a very strong background or heritage in doing measuring tools and high quality assurance products. So I wanted to give this as a bit of a nod to that. If you look at some of those meters, there's so much creativity and they're so beautiful in terms of the design. And I wanted to bring that into the watch dial. There's a hint of course, automotive and flying industry. And I think for me, the flying, my father was a pilot. And I think it's a nod to that as well, trying to get that into my design. For me, the tool, so in terms like the tool came first, and then came the watch. So I did in a way a 180 there with first time designing high-end innovative tools and then designing the watch that is actually being assembled by those very same tools.
The design is quite supple, quite under the radar. Was that intentional? Did you want this to be a watch that doesn't scream and flex in your face?
Yeah, I think that's based also on our Scandinavian design heritage. And when I was at the Scandinavian Watch Fair, this is also something that struck me, that all of the brands present are pretty low key. And it comes from a Scandinavian design heritage that we are pretty, we have that with us as Scandinavians, that we're pretty minimalistic with everything. And I think it's just look around us, how the nature that we constantly see and surround us as with. It's pretty low key. It's very robust, solid, beautiful. But in terms of that, it's part of the Scandinavian design heritage for me.
But still extremely functional, because we Nordic people, we like functional.
Well, it has to, I think over time it has to be functional. Otherwise, nature has shown us that we won't survive in it. So there's no fuzzing about. I think if you're living in a way in such an extreme climate, you have to cope with the bare necessities, and you take away the rest. So that's, I think, a beautiful thought on minimalism.
You made this watch for not only for yourself, for somebody else. Did you think about any demographics or specific customer type?
I designed for the person that is obviously into watches. This is probably not the first watch you're going to buy. This is, I think, a watch for people that love watches, that are buying 3 to 4 watches every year. They've done the Submariners, they bought the Audemars Piguet or whatever it is that, and they're constantly looking for new exciting products that they can bring on. And they don't have to prove anything for themselves. It's more about knowing who you are and what you're wearing. They're confident in that.
That's also quite Nordic attitude, if you think about it. You have nothing to prove.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you own other watches? Do you test other watches? Do you like other watches? Because you probably don't wear other watches.
No, not anymore. I'm only wearing my own watch. Yes. Well, on some occasions because I have this vintage Amiga Geneva that I wear to black tie dinner parties because it's so, how do you say, small and very, very slim. And I have other watches, yes. I love watches. I especially in love with the watches from the 70s with I think Heuer was on the peak of their creativity with what they were doing at the time. I just love the some of the Omegas. There is this square, I think it's reference Speedmaster 124 or something like that, and I just love those design and watches. Also, some of the Breitlings from that time are incredible. So and of course there are some modern brands that are really good, doing some very, very beautiful products. Absolutely.
Are any of them in your collection today, or is strictly Strayer in the box?
I have some vintage Swiss watches from the brands that I mentioned. And I have quite a collection of Sjö Sandström, actually, with some very unique pieces in my box.
Chronolink, let me guess.
Yes, I have two of them.
Orange dial?
No, I have white dial. And I also have the Black Knight, which they only made 10 of, with the full black. Yeah, all of that. And the Tungsten, the Diver watch, chronograph, the Swedish Royal. I met the owner of Sjö Sandström, and I said that to him, and it's still one of the best, I think, gifts that I ever given to my wife when we had birthday anniversary. And I got her the Sjö Sandström with the pearl dial and eight
Royal
diamonds.
Steel.
Yeah, the Royal Steel. We had been married for 8 years at that time, so it was one diamond for each year. And I think still, I haven't... I haven't done better than that. not even when I gave her my own watch in
until you make your watch in smaller size for her with a couple of diamonds.
No, she loves the watch. I mean, she's really petite, and she loves the watch. It's very oversized, but looks very cool on her, and it looks really cool on ladies. So, yeah.
Back to your watches. Walk me through the current collection and what's available for purchase, and walk me through the specs of the main model.
So I have one model in five different colors, and they're all available for purchase at the moment. Even though I'm running very low on blue. So the specs are... all watches come with stainless steel bezel. It's made in recycled Swedish stainless steel. And one polished stainless steel and one black matte. That allows you to really be the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And it also comes with two straps in different colors, made from sustainably made leather. Very soft, very, very luxurious feeling to that. And what the specs is that there is a Swiss automatic movement inside of it. The watch is 45.8 millimeters in diameter, and you have a crystal sapphire glass with six times of anti-reflection polishing on it, etc., etc. So for all you nerds, you can go into the website and read thoroughly where you can see more about the specs there.
Like me.
Yeah, I know you're in there. Looking.
You know, I love the crystal. And I always start there because this is the window to the dial. This is what you look at all the time. very comfortable, even though this is a big watch. It's fairly thick, but there is some magic with the lugs and with the wearability, because regardless of the size, this is very comfortable, and it's not too heavy either. It's very weight balanced, if you will. I put this on metal mesh. I put this on elastic strap, which I'm wearing today. I'm wearing it on NDC elastic strap. Fantastic combination with the brown brown dial and the
show me
grain.
Oh, that's nice.
And I did something you didn't expect, and I actually didn't even ask you for permission, but I thought it would be okay since this is a testing unit. I tested this mechanism. How many times will I be able to take on and off the module from the casing, and how many times can I turn this? Is it a lever?
Yeah, lever, yeah.
The crown lever. Correct. And I, up to date, have done this over 500 times. There is no wear and tear on those teeth that are locking the mechanism, which is very impressive to me, because this is not any special hardened steel.
It's just regular. It's the best steel in the world. It's just regular Swedish stainless steel.
Doesn't get any better than that. But I did expect a little bit more wear and tear on the teeth, because the tolerances are so tight. There is no wobble. There is no click. There is no any deformation of like, there is no gaps anywhere. When I press the module out of the casing, there is no wobble whatsoever. And that is something I like. I like good tolerances.
Yeah, thank you. And just for your information, I could have spared you all of that work, because of course, it's been tested by in the laboratory by the watchmakers. But I'm happy that you can confirm it. What can we wear? There is a O-ring inside of there, and it's something that you replace in terms of service. I mean, it's natural that you will have some wear and tear to that. But the amounts that you mentioned, 500 times, should not affect in that way. I forgot to mention that. The watch is also waterproof, at least to 100 meters, so it's perfectly reliable to wear in that environment as well.
You mentioned the leather strap. Is sustainability part of the concept? Was that very important to you, or it just came as a bonus?
No, it is important. I think that in 2023, it's something that we have to take in consideration. To work with sustainability, and I just saw some figures on the internet where, I mean, a lot of people are saying that watches, it's not that big. It's more important to do it on airplanes or cars or whatever it is. But I just saw that they presented some figures on sustainability rating where they're done on the watch industry, and I was happy to see that they did it to begin with, and Richemont came out with an excellent rating, whereas Rolex and I think it was Patek Philippe did not at all, where they got red on everything, which I think is, it doesn't matter how big you are or how premium you are, it's still the same world that we're living on, and for me it's absolutely clear that we should take care of and protect the globe that we're working on.
Speaking of that, what do you think about digital watches? Are they a threat to regular watches?
It's digital watches and smart watches. I mean, Apple is the biggest producer of watches in the world. And it, for me, it's two totally different products. I was looking at buying an Apple Watch, but for me, it was absolutely unnecessary. I could not convince myself to anything. I did not feel any emotions. Or I didn't see any gain at all in that. I have a MacBook Pro and I have the iPhone, but the Apple Watch was no. Totally unnecessary for me, and it didn't appeal to me at all. I know the hype for the G-Shock. It doesn't get me in a way. I understand that some people love it, but it's just like, you know, with music, some music you like and some music you don't like, and it's absolutely individual. I think, I mean, when it comes to plastic watches, there's a lot of greenwashing from some companies that polluted the world with plastic watches and now trying to claim that they are harvesting the sea with plastic, which is, I think, one of the most rubbish and worst greenwashing that I've seen. If you're going to make plastic, make sure that it's made from recycled material to start with, yes, and that it has some kind of life length. Otherwise, it's just going to end up in the trash bin. And it's engineering hours, it's production hours, it's everything. It's just waste.
I put not long ago a Instagram story with just a simple text: what happens when all the oceans are clean of plastic? Yeah. And I wrote under, we hire a new marketing company. I have to ask you about your visit to Pentagon. I don't know many people that have been there.
Yeah, it was one of the more exciting trips. I was invited to Pentagon to talk about Swedish innovation, Swedish ergonomics, and Swedish design and how that could benefit for people working on fighter planes and helicopters on marine bases and on these big ships that are out in the ocean. And the first thing when you come there, it's I didn't know, but you can actually take the tube like U-Bahn, and it's the end station. It's the world's biggest office. There's more than 20,000 people working in there. And when you get inside, the first thing that strikes you, it's a shopping mall, and which in a way, I mean, you're really surprised because you think it's going to be so strict and so military and But I mean, with so many people there, they also have the needs to buy jewelry, to make their laundry, to buy sports stuff, and well, everything. So you could buy everything, as I said in there. And once you're in, it's quite cleverly because you have different floors and then you have different rings that you walk inside, and everything just looks the same. So if you're inside of it, you have absolutely no idea where you are, because everything looks just exactly like the other hall room. It's the carpets, it's beige, it's gray, it's white. And we have this meeting, you come inside, and then it looks like in the movies with those oak furniture with the eagles and ornaments and everything. And we were going to have a lunch. And then they brought us to the center of Pentagon, where there's like a garden and there's a little building in the middle. And during the Cold War,
the whole Pentagon thing.
Yeah, so the center of the whole Pentagon. Wow. I mean, Pentagon, that's the five different corners, I'd say. And there's an opening in the middle and there's a garden and there's a little house in the middle. And during the Cold War, the Russians thought that that's where the United States are going to put the president in the bunker in the middle. So they had rockets pointing at that point. This is actually true. And so they asked us if we wanted to see it. And then we got there and it's a fast food restaurant. So we had fried chicken. And it was absolutely not as you expected. It was just like a greasy...
It wasn't a bunker.
No. It was just a greasy, horrible restaurant, fast food restaurant in there. So, but very fun to have been there. Very fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this up, did we miss anything? Is there anything you want to add?
Well, it's Christmas, and if you want to treat yourself to something really, really nice, you can find your favorite color on straywatches.com.
I should mention here also that Watches of Scandinavia, the flagship Nordic watch only store in downtown Stockholm, is opening just in a couple of weeks, 13th, 14th of October.
Yes.
Your watches will be available there.
Yes, I will have them
for purchase and to take a look.
Yes, I will have them on display, and I'm happy to be part of that initiative where you can find, I would say, the latest and most exciting in Nordic watchmaking and watch design. So I think this is a cool initiative, and I'm happy to be part of it. I also have a showroom in Karlavägen. You can find my number and email on the website, and I'm happy to meet you there for a private view if you are interested in getting.
Would you do also Zoom or video presentation for the people abroad?
Absolutely. But the Strayer, as you mentioned, should be experienced in person to get the feeling and wearability to it.
Are you coming with a smaller version?
Well, I have a lot of ideas up my sleeve. And I know that some people have been complaining, because they're always complaining and they like to complain. So maybe I will make... I will definitely make the DMT, and I have some exciting ideas around the chronograph, smart things. But my promise to the customers is to come up with innovative and playful designs in terms of watches. And that is what I'm going to continue to deliver to the market and to the client. So
exciting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. For the listeners, if you have any questions, recommendations, if you just want to chat with me and Ola, I will put all the necessary contacts in the podcast notes. And until next time, remember, what's beyond horology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.